welcome to Is This Good? The show where we boldly, conclusively, and scientifically decide what things in this big wide world are good. I'm Matt Austin, and with me, as always, is production powerhouse Jason Doyle.
Hello.
Hi, JD. Thanks for coming. And today's guest is a writer, actor, director, and stand-up. She's currently writing for a forthcoming animated Netflix series, and she's also about to tour her critically acclaimed solo show, Avital Ash Workshops Her Suicide Note, which received 4-star reviews at the Edinburgh Fringe from The Telegraph, The Scotsman, Distractify, Fringe Biscuit, and other places that aren't as fun to say as Fringe Biscuit. Unfortunately, the name of her show ruins the suspense of who the guest is because her name's in. I wonder if it's too late to change that. Let's find out. It's Avital Ash. Avital, welcome to Is This Good?
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And you know what? Maybe I'll change it to Matt and JD Workshop Their Suicide Note.
Okay.
Just to fuck with people.
Well, see, not the one good thing about the title. It's a very good title. But you know exactly what you're walking into, right?
It's sort of a trigger warning, I think, the title, which is good.
Right, you don't need to say TW colon Avital Ash Workshops or Suicide. No.
Yeah. It's or like suicidal, trigger warnings, talk of suicide. Like, yeah, if you didn't know that from the title, that's on you.
Yeah, like they don't need to put TW ships sinking in frigid waters on the Titanic poster, you know? It's called Titanic. You know what you're getting into.
Yeah, although I do remember in middle school when everybody was like raving about it, my friend was like, oh, I want to see it. I don't even know what it's about. And so then jokingly, I was like, it's about a ship that sinks. And she got really mad that I spoiled it.
All biopics, very easy to spoil.
Yeah.
One thing I'm curious about is, so I said in the intro, you were at the Edinburgh Fringe with your show.
And great intro. You nailed it.
Oh, thank you. But my question is, every time I've ever heard anyone talk about the Edinburgh Fringe, they talk about it like it is the worst thing that has ever happened to them. Why? What about this festival, which is like a very famous festival? I think they have like hundreds of shows. Mm-hmm. I mean, super famous people have done it. People have started there and gone on to great prominence and success. So why does everyone talk about it like it's a colonoscopy?
So it's the biggest arts festival in the world, which is amazing. So much art. But that also means that you're competing with more shows than you would anywhere else. And I think a lot of that comes from people who are doing shows to like for an audience of one or two.
One or two people are showing up for the show.
Yeah, I think like, and thankfully I got very lucky and didn't have that experience. I definitely had nights that were smaller and nights that were more full. But there are some people who are like every night they're performing to like one or two people, which seems pretty harrowing.
That's the Matt and JD Workshop there, so right now. That show's getting one person, and they're there by accident.
I mean, it really also depends, like, what venue you're at and what time, and, you know, it's like, there's so many factors.
So then how do you pre-negotiate that before? Like, how did you know going into it that you weren't going to be one of those shows that had two people in it?
I did not know. I was scared, and I was prepared for that possibility, for sure.
And you still went?
I still went.
Okay, so you're sort of a hero.
Oh my God, thank you. I mean, you said it, so it must be true.
And this is a run of like, what, 10 shows, 20 shows?
Almost 30. I think I did 26 shows.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God. So you're getting a bulk discount on Airbnb for that stay.
I got incredibly lucky and ended up with a free place to stay, but that is another reason why people hate it, is like because there is real price gouging that happens around the festival, and staying can be a fortune. And I don't know what the end was. The end, period.
Okay, and then what about, let's say, you're done your show. Mm-hmm. The house is packed, all 30. Is it not fun after, like when you're around all these interesting, funny, creative people? Or do people not hang?
I would think so. Yeah, I loved that part. Like it was just the glare. I thought the recorder had stopped. Sorry, I got nervous.
Okay. We've got backups and backups.
We got backups and backups.
In fact, just throw it out. In fact, just close your laptop right now. We're fine.
All right, great. I got a call, which thankfully didn't disrupt. I'm going to put on Do Not Disturb just to prevent that from happening in the future. So I never went to summer camp, but I imagine this is sort of what it's like. And yeah, I loved it. I had a great experience because as someone, you might have guessed from the title, as someone who struggles with depression, some of the keys for happiness are like a sense of community and a sense of purpose. And every single day it was super clear what my purpose was. And then you have this built-in community of people who are doing the exact same thing you are. So you're like trench buddies. Is that a phrase? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's definitely a wartime phrase, in fact.
War trench buddies.
World War I saw the trench buddies that were lost.
Yes, there was just as much death at the Edinburgh war trenches.
But you also probably don't want to hang out with someone that's like Bill Fadewell, you know, is happy all the time. You know, that's probably not the show that you're going to be trench buddies with.
Or maybe we would just hit it off so well because opposites attract.
That's true, too.
I did meet someone, Darren Harriott, who's this great UK comic, and we met, and he was like, "What's your show about?" And I started with, my biological mom committed suicide when I was a baby. And he was like, "My dad killed himself." And we high-fived. And so I feel like you do meet people that like laugh about, I mean, there's also dramatic shows. I don't think I overlapped with anybody who was doing like a proper play. I think it was all comedy people. But yeah, there's like a quick, I feel like we kind of have a similar sensibility. We ended up here, which is an insane thing to do. And we like to laugh about dark subjects. I mean, obviously that's not everybody, but that's what it felt like to me, mm-hmm. was just meeting a lot of like-minded people.
For me, co-suicides is more of a fist bump than a high five, but you know, it's to each their
Interesting.
Own.
Is there a reason, do you think, that you'd go fist bump?
I think it's more of a sense of camaraderie, whereas a high five makes a sound that perhaps doesn't go well with suicide, but what do I know?
Yeah, interesting. I feel like a fist bump might be more solidarity and a high five is more joy. Mm. So then the discord between the joyful high five and the subject matter is also like a little notch in favor of the high five.
Well, also,
is this good? Fist bump versus
good?
High five?
high fives for suicide. Let's find out. Do you think you have a thing about spoiling things for people? Because I'm going to see your show at the end of this month, and just ruined it for me.
You'd be surprised at how much I haven't ruined it.
Okay.
Because that's sort of where the show starts.
Okay,
there was
good.
Like one review that had a line from the very end of the show, and I was like, don't put that in there. But it really is kind of like, to start, I have this, you know, genetic predisposition in a way. It's in my family. I'm depressed. And here are the different drafts, and here's what we're going to do about it. But there's still like a lot of turns that it takes. So
okay.
I'll let you decide after you've seen it, but I don't think so. I don't think I've ruined anything.
According to one of the reviews I read, it takes such turns to such delightful places as the Holocaust and sexual assault.
Yeah.
Hey, so buckle up, listeners.
I mean, maybe we should have a trigger warning for some of those things. But yeah,
okay,
comedy.
Well, we'll do some very quick housekeeping as a sort of sorbet palate cleanser between the two things. And by the way, I can come do housekeeping for my podcast in the middle of your show if you want me to.
Yes, I would love that.
Between
you.
A tense minute and I get up there, I'm like, if you'd like to support the show, go to patreon.com/isthisgood. Send topics for future shows to isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe to Is This Good on YouTube. Now I'll actually do the housekeeping. If you'd like to support the show, go to No, just kidding. Okay.
That was good. That was a good bit.
Avital, the premise of this show is very simple. I'm going to give you a topic. You tell me if it's good. You're already in the spirit of it, right?
Yes.
So here we go. First topic, Trevor S. asks, eating in front of the TV, is this good?
Oh.
And I will, maybe start here. Let's say growing up, because I feel like the answer is going to differ whether we're talking like, I'm eating alone and I'm mm-hmm. eating in front of the TV, or with the family. So mm-hmm. what is your dinner history growing up? Were you in front of the TV or were you around the dinner table telling stories of the day?
We were around the dinner table, but it would still be often like disjointed. Like my dad wouldn't come in while we were eating. Also, I should clarify, I mean, I explained this in the show, but because I said my biological mom committed suicide, my dad remarried. I grew up with a mom. So
okay,
it's
good. There's another spoiler.
I don't want to be saying my mom and you're like, didn't you just say she died? Like, what are you talking about?
This whole thing is a lie?
Yeah.
That'd be a hell of a thing to make up for clout,
yes.
But.
And then to immediately be like, well, my mom. And you're like, what? So I'm not trying to spoil it, but I was like, I do feel like this is important because my mom would make dinner. And then my brothers would sometimes come in at different points, and like my dad would almost never really be eating with us. He'd like be on the phone. So it wasn't like we took it super seriously, but we also were not watching in front of the TV.
You also couldn't have done that, because imagine you sit down to watch Seinfeld and your dad's coming in 15 minutes through, and then your brothers are talking on the phone, you know, whatever. It's like,
it would ruin it.
It would ruin it. You have to show that you can handle being silent during dinner around the table before I'll take you in front of the TV.
That's a great point.
It's a privilege.
Yeah.
And so did that make you feel like, or set the tone that, hey, when I grow up, we're going to be eating around the table?
No. I love to eat and I love to watch TV. So combining those things is like peak joy.
It's pretty fucking good, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. It's like my favorite way to do either of those things.
I know, but they don't want you to. Like, my parents were very much an around the table. In fact, like, having the TV on, unless it was, say, like, the Super Bowl or something, was so frowned upon that you would think it was a sin. A TV dinner? I don't think so. We didn't have those little trays that, you could fold. So I kind of grew up super jealous of my friends that were like, oh, yeah, we just watch the game or whatever.
You're like, Mom, why can't we have a broken home like all my friends?
Well, honestly, same thing when you would find out, like, some kid would come in and be like, oh, yeah, we ordered Domino's again last night. And I'd be like, oh, so fucking jealous. And didn't realize that's because their mother didn't love them.
And now that you know, are you still jealous? Or you're like, yeah, it's nice, my mom liked me or whatever.
I do love Domino's, you know?
Yeah, toss up, hard to say.
Also, I don't know, this is a random thing too. But on Yom Kippur, when we'd break the fast, you know, we'd go to synagogue, then we'd go and you know, you hadn't eaten all day. And so you would go to someone's house in my family, and they'd prepared this like beautiful spread, and they'd set the table perfectly. And I would literally always get there and be pissed off and be like, honey cake again? We're doing honey cake as a thing? Like, there couldn't be three pizzas? Like, when you're so fucking hungry and you haven't eaten all day, you do just want pizza. Trash. And instead they're giving me like poached salmon. No thanks.
Your life sounds really hard. I'm so sorry.
Look, I mean, we're going tit for tat here with trauma from our childhood. Yeah,
yeah. No,
you,
definitely.
Suicide, remarriage, me, poached salmon.
Was that an internal or an external monologue? The fucking honey cake again? Was that your thought or that was out loud?
Well, no, that was the... I was a good boy, Avital.
Okay.
Good boy.
Okay. But for some reason, they were like... You would never
disrespect them. First of all, it's like, we haven't eaten. This is so Jewish, too. Like, we haven't eaten in, realistically, what, 12 hours? Mm-hmm. And we're still like, no, you gotta start with the honey cake because it's not gonna be rough on your tummy. It's like, what are you talking about? Everyone I fucking know in this goddamn city doesn't eat for the same amount of time I used to fast on Passover.
Yeah.
And they're going out and eating like chicken parm, you know? So
we did lied it for real. Not to, again, tit for tat it, but we would do is 25 hours of fasting, and you couldn't drink water, and you couldn't even brush your teeth because you might accidentally, then you're putting water in your mouth. I grew up Orthodox. I don't know if you knew that. So it was.
So what is this? Now you're spoiling act three of the one woman show?
Yeah, basically. You shouldn't have invited me on your podcast.
Are we saying one woman show still, or are we going with person?
I always say solo show just because it's shorter and less annoying to say.
That's true.
But yeah, one woman show, one person show. I don't know. It might be kind of fun if you're like, go see Avital's one man show. I don't know. They're all bad.
Yeah, it's true.
Solo show I like.
Okay.
Flying solo.
Okay. Thanks.
Wait, so how do you get to 25 hours though? Because I was always taught by our rabbis and scholars, you know, the Rambam, that it was sundown.
Sundown till an hour after sundown.
Oh, I guess that is 25 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so sorry. When I said 12, I was exaggerating. Look, we've all come exaggerating our own things.
I thought you meant, because I know a lot of people that will quote-unquote fast on Yom Kippur, but they're like, I didn't eat breakfast, and then I had a snack, but then I didn't eat again until, you know, so I thought that's what you were saying.
I just had a smoothie. Is that food?
That's what I thought you were saying. So no, you did the full 25
Okay, but 12 hours of awake time.
Right, that's true. You know? That is true. But no midnight snacks and...
No midnight snacks. In fact, on Yom Kippur, I would not eat in front of the TV. It was
wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
What's going on in your house, JD? Are you trying to instill table eating with your kids?
We try, for sure. We do.
But you hate it because you want to be watching TV.
I want to be watching TV.
What do you want to be watching?
Anything. My kids are older now, so we can literally watch anything. House of the Dragon, put it on. Sopranos, put it on.
Cool.
I think the kids enjoy it more. Like, they'll bitch about it, but once we're at the table, we're actually, like, talking and having fun. But the slightest little excuse to sit in front of the TV, we're all like, okay, let's just eat in front of the TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, this is coming out today? Okay, I've got a little bit of a backache. Let's sit in front of the TV. Mm-hmm. But we definitely, we try to do it as often as we can. But in my house growing up, always at the table.
But you didn't have a TV.
That's right. We didn't have it. The TV wasn't invented back then.
I know. So what is this ruse that we're doing here? It's like families, like our parents are teaching us when we're kids, you got to sit around the table. Mm-hmm. Sitting at the TV, that's for the divorced and the poor.
That's right.
And then we are just like wanting to sit in front of the TV, but our parents are telling us to sit at the table so that when we grow up and we're old enough, all we do is sit in front of the TV, mm-hmm. you know, college years, whatever, after. And then when we have kids, we will pretend we never did that and force them to sit at the table so that then right. when they get older, they can finally self-realize and sit in front of the TV. It's a weird thing we're doing here.
Yeah. I mean, I think the idea behind it is nice of like, let's spend quality time together.
For sure.
Pass the salt.
Yeah.
Well, pass
when you have kids, you're going to love it. It's for the parents.
Not for the
kids.
Okay.
Sitting at the table for dinner.
Uh-huh.
You're going to love it. You're going to insist on it.
Avital, now that you are partnered up with, I should say, Amir Blumenthal, former guest on this show... TV or in your vast dining room?
Giant dining room. It echoes. It's so big and vast and loud. We don't normally sit down to eat together. Mm. And we don't normally sit down in front of the TV together either because I'm much more of a like TV and movie person and he's mostly just wants to watch sports.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's literally like he's on the couch with the TV on eating and I'm like in a chair with my laptop watching a TV show, like two strangers or people who dislike each other.
Okay, so this is the end of the show when you talk about your unsatisfying marriage.
And then I go into the bedroom and cry. Yeah.
Do you have the thing where you can't start eating until you've selected the show you're going to watch?
Yes.
And do you find that the delays the eating?
Yes, or it's more, because I love it, there is thought ahead of time of like, if we're ordering food or making something, I'm like, what am I going to watch while I eat it? And I try to figure it out before the food either has arrived or is ready.
Right.
Wait, so are we talking pairings of food? Like, if I'm going to order...
Like Emily in Paris, I got to have a baguette?
Yeah.
I love that. I have not done that. More just like, oh, what am I in the mood for? And do I want to start a new show? Sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes you're sucked in and you're like, I got to finish this.
Right.
But other times you're like, all right, what am I in the mood for now? We have been watching Curb together, so we'll sometimes eat with
Deli.
The final season. Should be. But we've not been doing pairings. Have you guys done that? Have you tried that?
I've never once done that. I mean, we're currently watching The Americans for the first time and... It's not like we have TGI Fridays every week.
You should. It'll enhance
Get the Applebee's Dollaritas going where another episode of The Americans is coming up.
Oh, we're watching Mad Men. Just cigarettes and scotch for dinner tonight, kids.
I mean, that sounds nice.
That would
be. The pairing.
That would be really great.
I remember somebody was watching The Godfather for the first time, maybe even, and the sequel, and they did, you know, like pasta and garlic bread, and that seems fun.
Yeah, like if you're having like let's say a Sopranos watch party for the finale and everyone's going to bring baked ziti or whatever, sure. Fine. But to do it at home, it's a little
You have private. To romanticize your life, Matt. You got to start
Do
romant-
I? Are you sure?
Every night is sort of a party even if it's just a party of two.
I really don't feel that way. And I have thought about that as I've lived with my girlfriend for about a year now. So I'm like, it really is just a bit of a grind over here, you know? And that's not her fault, and it's not my fault. It's just like, what do we do? I feel like a coach. I'm like, what are we running here tonight? Okay, I make dinner. We watch an episode of The Americans, maybe if we're being naughty too. I mean, that's the other reason you have to eat in front of the TV. Because by the time I'm done work, she gets home, she's done work. If we're not eating while we're watching TV, then...
There's no time to watch.
There's no time to watch.
Yeah.
There's no time.
It's true. Do you guys have similar watch patterns? Because I want to binge. I'm like, if there's another episode, I want to keep going. And Amir's like, one is enough. We'll watch the next one tomorrow or the next day. And that's hard.
Well, I am like that, but I also am someone that falls asleep 2 hours into TV no matter what. So that saves the binging. I would say, I'd say honestly we're pretty good because it does drive me nuts if someone's on their phone while we're trying to watch TV.
Oh, I hate that.
She's good about that.
JD, do you binge?
I'll binge for sure. Binge. Yeah.
I love a binge.
It's the best.
Do you find, though, one thing I will say about eating, because I was thinking about this last night as I was eating in front of the TV, is that like sometimes I'll start the show, I'll take a bite of what I'm eating, and I swear to God, if you said, no looking down right now, what did you just put in your mouth? And I don't mean like, did you put the broccolini in your mouth or the grain of rice? I just mean in general, what dish are you eating?
Mm-hmm.
No idea.
Yeah.
And I think I eat more.
Yeah.
You do. In front of the TV? I think it's 25% more, I think, you eat.
Yeah.
That's a fact?
That's like that. Studies have shown.
Well, how am I supposed to romanticize my life when I'm eating 25% more food? And then if I finish it and the show's still going, I'm like,
yep.
Something's missing here.
I need more food. Yes.
And I need more food.
So here's the thing. It's bad to eat in front of the TV, but it feels good.
Yeah.
Well, Avital, we poll our listeners before the show, and a real landslide here. 91% of people say eating in front of the TV is good.
Wow.
I wonder, I phrased it eating in front of the TV. Maybe I should have phrased it like as a family.
Because
then it would be lower.
Yeah, then I think
right.
And then we would really find out which of our parent, our listeners have parents that love them.
Right. Most of them are just lonely dudes sitting at home.
Ugh,
what are they going to?
During the pandemic, when I lived alone, a new option or newish option, eat dinner while listening to a podcast. Oh, the saddest. So sad.
I wonder sometimes how many people are doing that now, listening to this podcast while eating.
100%.
Oh, yeah. And we love you. Feel me hugging you right now. And what I'll say is sometimes take the headphones out, put the podcast onto a Bluetooth speaker, put the Bluetooth speaker across from you.
Yes. And we're your companions.
And you know what? Why don't
now
we
it's pause? A dinner for four.
JD, pause here for a second.
Okay.
So they can say something.
that was good.
That was good.
That was good. Okay, next topic. Diego J asks, banning kids from your wedding, is this good? So we're talking kids only weddings. I think you got married this year.
Kids only weddings.
Kids
no,
only.
Oh, no adults. Kids only and children.
Child brides only.
Yes, my wedding, I was 5 and Amir was 6 and no parents were allowed.
Okay, but honestly, based on how this conversation is going, that could have happened to you.
Just trauma at every turn.
Just every turn.
I was a child bride.
So you did get married recently.
Yes, in October.
And was it a child's only wedding?
You must be under this tall to attend. There were kids. We were treating it like it was a no kids wedding, and that sort of was the plan. And then gradually that just disappeared. And I think like maybe we just got lucky in that there weren't really any screaming kids. Because I'm so wishy-washy on this because I didn't want kids because I didn't want screaming. But there were kids, and it was great, and there was no screaming.
But what about, did you also want your friends that had kids to, like, feel more free and be able to stay later?
I did, but I also knew that some of those friends who were newish parents were going to have the opposite thing, where instead of feeling unencumbered, they were going to be like, I'm just worried about when I'm going to get back. And, like, oh, they've never been with, like, a babysitter here, especially, like, my best friend still lives in Florida, so it was like... I Actually, her parents came and they were supposed to go watch the kids, but I think she just left with all of them. Fucking bitch. I'm demoting her now.
She probably wanted to bring her parents too.
Well, the parents were going to be so that they could watch the kids and she could stay.
No, okay. So they were all.
They were all there.
You don't want like someone coming in with the baby monitor that's like connected to the Wi-Fi and trying to plug it in and shit like that.
That's more stressful.
So it sounds like you did start with like, we want this to be a party. We want this to be fun. And kids aren't fun.
Yeah. Right. Especially, and you're less fun with them. Gabby, leave your kids at home.
Wow.
It's always,
No,
and Gabby, it's your second, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, if it was your first, we'd understand. But you should know the drill by now.
You've got to.
How did you phrase this on the invitation?
There was nothing about it on the invitation, and it was just like person by person. Like, I remember one of Amir's friends, I think Amir was like, oh, and who's gonna watch the baby? And he was like, oh, I just thought we'd bring her. And every time Amir told somebody the story, they were like, that's insane. That's a crazy thing to assume. But then I think they did end up just bringing her.
One thing I'll say is it is weird because we do... Like, kids are, to me, synonymous with weddings, in a sense, right? Because, like, you want the cute flower girl.
On the dance floor, also. Yes.
You love a kid on the dance floor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Doing this.
Yeah, that was adorable.
And you
I
do
hope people
love...
turn on the video for that.
Yeah, come.
Do it again. Yeah, little punches.
How did I know how to do that? That's because that's how I dance.
Yes.
And a kid falling asleep at the table with their face in a plate.
Adorable.
So classic. But you tell me your fucking photographer that you paid $5,000 to is not taking a picture of that child falling asleep on the charger? The charger's the plate that goes under the plate.
There was one weird specific... It ended up working out totally fine, but my close friend who got married at this same venue, so that was when we saw it and we were like, this is beautiful, and we, you know, essentially stole their venue. He and his wife, like one of her best friends, had a wedding the same day. So they split up where he came. I mean, they're still together, but he came to our wedding. She went to a different wedding and he was like, oh, I'll bring our daughter as the plus one now. And I love her. Like, of all the babies, like, she's very high up there. She's a really good baby. I'll go over like just to see her. And I'm not that kind of person. But then I was like, oh, we're not, like, he just was sort of like, easy, I'll swap my wife out for my daughter. And I was like, I didn't want to just be. Yes. And so I tried being like, hey, so we actually, I think it might be a little bit weird because there aren't going to be any other kids there. And he was like, that's fine.
That's fine. She loves adults. She's an old soul.
Exactly.
She loves Anderson Paak. She'll fit right in.
And she was great. It was way better for her being there than not.
But I mean, that's always the thing, right? It's like, you're like, we want this to be fun. We don't want there to be kids. We want this to be an adult-centric thing. But then a fucking kid sneaks through. Mm-hmm. You know, the bouncer that you hired sucks.
Yes.
They go right between their legs. Or it's three kids in a trench coat. And you're like, we didn't even notice. Like, it was fine. But this is a thing because when I Googled it, there's websites devoted to different ways you can tell people on the invitation not to bring their kids.
Wow.
There's like one website I looked at was like 38 ways to tell people that it is a child-free wedding.
Wow. We were rushed, partially because I got back from Scotland September 1st, and then the wedding was October 15th. So it was like chaos, and I feel like neither of us were smart about it. Neither of us were like, we should read about what other people do with their weddings. Yeah. We were just like, we'll figure it out. And then that's why the three kids in the trench coat snuck in and threw the legs because we didn't know.
But see, I feel like it's worse to have to call each person individually and say, so about the wedding,
right?
You can't bring your child.
I don't know why I thought the default would be people would assume. Like, I remember my friend invited me over for a birthday dinner and she was like, and I'm so sorry you can't bring Luke, which is our dog. And I was like, I wasn't planning on just showing up with my dog. I would have been like, can I bring Luke if that was the plan? And I don't know why I thought the same with babies, that if anybody wanted to bring one, they would be like, can I bring my baby? I thought the default was no, and that they would ask.
Look, if it's an
I was wrong.
Wedding,
Yeah.
Bring your dog. I see.
Yeah. We did bring Luke to the wedding, actually.
Oh, okay. So it's fine for you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And the flower girls. We were like, we'll have Luke walk down the aisle. We'll have the flower girls walk down the aisle. And otherwise, no kids. But
oh, right. Because then it's also like, what if you're, I don't know if you have siblings but or whatever, but like if I have a sister, if she has kids, how am I going to tell her my nephews not to come to the wedding?
Right.
So
that's hard.
And then people show up and they're like, well, they're here.
Yeah.
I had to get a babysitter and my kids would have loved. I mean, that's this dumb thing is like parents are like, well, you know, Annabelle would have loved this. I never once remember my parents being like, oh, well, we're going to a wedding on Saturday, so there's going to be a babysitter. And I would be like,
right, crying.
The Meyerbaums didn't invite me to their wedding?
Devastated.
The most boring people in the world. And that's no slight to the Meyerbaums. That's every adult when you're a child. They're right. The most boring people.
That's so true. Also, my mom, who really was an MVP and planned a lot of it, was like, oh, I found a sitter who can come and like be on site so people can leave their kids with her. And right. Amir even has been like, was that person actually there? Did that happen? And I'm like, I don't know. Because I think what happened is people were like, okay, great, there's a sitter, and then just kept their kids the whole time.
It'd be good if it was the people from the Kanye West school. That's who you want to leave your kids with.
What is that?
Oh, you don't know about like, the Kanye West school?
No.
He started a school in Los Angeles, like a, you know, his version of what Montessori would be, I suppose.
Uh-huh.
And now he's just being constantly sued by everyone that worked for him at the store on account of the Hitler. The Hitler and the kids, they don't mix. And he said maybe there's a way we could combine the Hitler with the kids.
This is, you're exaggerating with this specific thing, right?
No, I'm not exaggerating with it. Well, I just mean, you know, Kanye is a
right.
Big
he
fan
doesn't like Jews, but he wasn't.
No, but he literally said he wanted to put the kids in a cage. Like when they were misbehaving.
Oh.
Yeah.
That makes me worried for his own kids as well.
Yeah. It does sound like a school he could have started in 1939 in Germany. But, you know, now it's not really.
Aside from the fact that they would have killed him, probably.
That's true. That's true.
But no, he can't win.
Yeah. Nah. Okay, let's go over some ways that you could say it. Because I think they're divided into three main categories.
Yes, I love this.
From what I saw. So there's.
Well, I thought mine was good, but it didn't work, which is just, oh,
what was yours?
I was like, I think she would be the only kid there, so it might be a little weird. I thought that was good.
But there's so many things I could say back to that. It's not airtight, and I want airtight.
I thought it would make him go, oh, there's no kids. Okay, I'll just come by myself. Mm. But no.
Well, have you?
You're right. It wasn't airtight. You're correct.
The thing about parents is they love their kids.
Yeah.
So they're not thinking that their child is going to be a drag on the event.
Right.
To them, it's like caterer, DJ, my child. Both all will bring just as much joy to this wedding.
Can I ask a question? What difference does it make? Like, if you're getting married, who fucking cares if they bring their kids? Do you know what I'm saying?
My fear, potentially, and I think this is because growing up Orthodox, I went to so many weddings where everybody had like 10 kids and they were all there and it was just overrun, crawling with children.
Yeah,
and that, you know, during like your vows, it would just be like one kid stops screaming and another one starts. And then that kid stops screaming and another one starts. And I think I was picturing it was not the kind of wedding we had. And my mom's side of the family definitely is like Orthodox and they have a bunch of kids, but still not as many as we were growing up with. And most of our friends don't have 15 kids. And so it was totally manageable. But I think, and I didn't even realize it till this moment, so I'm glad you asked. I think it was just this idea of like, this is what weddings are and it will be deafening and I'll be annoyed. But I think there actually was a kid screaming and I didn't even hear it because I was so focused.
But as a potential solution, did you just think to write on the card, no Jewish kids?
Oh, that's good.
Right?
It didn't even cross
right out
my
of
mind.
The Kanye
yes.
Now I'm just reading from his syllabus. All right. So there's, okay, this is one kind of category is.
I made it worse.
We're doing this for you. So here's an example of one from this website. We hope you will understand our decision to make the wedding children free and take the opportunity to let your hair down and celebrate in style.
You can't celebrate in style with a kid. They're just
not stylish. You can't let your
hair
down. Kids are always grabbing it. You got to put it in a top knot. Every mother knows that.
That's true.
Is that something you could ever imagine yourself writing on a card?
No.
No.
Could you?
No. God.
No.
Okay, JD, so that one's not going to work.
JD, you already don't. These shadows feel crazy, so I'm trying to get rid of them.
No, it's okay. You look like Cyclops from the X-Men.
JD, I guess you wouldn't do it because you don't even. You're like, why wouldn't you invite a kid?
Well, no. I'm with you ultimately in that I don't want kids at my wedding, but at the same time, it's not something that I can police.
Yes, it is. You just write. You've never been at a wedding. You never gotten an invitation that says no child left behind.
I don't think I have.
All children left behind.
I don't think I have.
Oh, really? I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been great.
Okay. I believe you.
I wonder if I've gotten those invitations and never clocked that language because I didn't have kids.
Right, so it didn't apply to you.
Yeah,
that's possible.
I have brought my dog to plenty of weddings without asking, but...
Of course.
I mean, as a courteous guest, I would automatically be like, okay, I got to ditch these kids because I got to go to this wedding. Like, it wouldn't even occur to me to bring my kids to a wedding because I'd hate it. And yeah, but...
It's like what I was saying is I guess I assumed that the question would be, can I bring my kids? And I would say no, versus, I don't know. Yeah, it seemed, but I'm wrong, clearly, because there's 83 ways to tell people 83 that. Ways.
I'd be like, you invited all of us. Is it okay if I don't bring the kids? Like,
because you want to let your hair down. Yeah.
And they're like, no, they're really tying this whole function together.
You want to go in style. You don't want to bring these rugrats
Let your hair down, JD. Yeah. Let your beard down. Otherwise, you're going to have to tie that thing right up. Okay, so then category two is like what I would describe as like a restaurant substitution, like on a menu when they're saying like we don't.
Oh, wait, but did you say your answer? No, I want to know. What do you, the kids at a wedding to you?
Oh, yes, yeah. No? Ideally, no. But at the same time, after I read 83 ways to say we're having a child-free wedding, I wasn't comfortable with any of them.
Oh, there wasn't. Was there a winner of the bunch? Is that the one you
wrote
to us?
No, they're all bad. I mean, I think honestly the best way is just direct.
Yeah.
We fucking hate your kid. and then so they get to the wedding, that person's like, do you think that card was a little weird where it said we fucking hate your kid? And they're like, no, that wasn't on our card. And then it's like, uh-oh.
Ooh, that's good. Then you just stir drama. And they can't be mad because it's your wedding. They have to be nice to you.
That's right.
How about this? Half the invitations we send out say child-free. Half of them say, we love your children. Please bring them.
It does seem like just now a serious solution potentially is to say we love your kid and they're not invited. And if that's on all of the invites,
I like that a lot.
You've hit on the third way. So okay, so let me just say the restaurant substitution way is just, unfortunately, we cannot accommodate children. Thank you for understanding.
Oh, I thought you were moving on to totally new category about restaurants.
Oh, no. Don't worry. Okay. We're dragging this out as long as we can.
I was like, wait, I want to hear your answer, but I just interrupted you when you were still talking about it.
No, that's totally fine. Okay, now here's your way, which I call the protesteth too much, which is, although we adore your children, due to space constraints, we ask that only adults attend. Like,
but the hole in that is that children take up less space than adults.
Great. Well, we're not just stacking them. I mean,
why not?
When you went to your wedding venue, where you're like, all right, that's where the DJ will go, that's the head table, and there's where the child pyramid will go. And I think if we go 5-4, I really think that's a tight. That's a dead zone in the corner. No one likes to be seated in the corner.
But kids, they don't care. They don't have feelings or opinions. Throw them in the pyramid in the corner.
They'd love to be in a pyramid.
They'd love it.
Probably also Kanye West, part of the pedagogy. I saw this in Abu Ghraib once. So I wonder if we could... Was that Kanye Googling? Was Abu Ghraib a school? All right. So let's see what the people said. The people said 76% banning kids from your wedding is good.
Wow.
So they were with you on a child-free wedding. So
you want to know one more fun tidbit, because I've already told you about my dad remarried when I was a baby. I grew up with a mom. And I remember growing up, like, I'd seen pictures from their wedding and I was there. And again, Orthodox people, they weren't having premarital sex. Like, there's no way that they, like, had me and then got married a couple years later. But I had seen it since such a young age that it never occurred to me. Oh, I guess I also should say that I didn't know. Now we're getting into some spoiler territory. But I didn't know that I had this other mom who died.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, but then
wait,
there's
pictures. That's how you found out?
No, because I'm an idiot, is the point. Okay. I didn't think it was weird that I was at their wedding. That should have been a tip-off. But imagine if they were like, no kids, and then I wasn't allowed, even though that was my dad.
Are we talking the kind of Orthodox wedding where there's like a curtain down the middle and it's men on once? The whole, you dancing too?
Yes. Well, I don't remember theirs because like we were talking about as a kid, you don't care about weddings and you don't remember them anyway. Yeah. But the Orthodox weddings I've been to, yes, there's a mechitza which separates the men and women. So there isn't mixed dancing.
It's so awkward when Pony comes on, you know? That's the rabbi said, when Genuine's Pony comes on, you may cross sides. All right, Abital, when people need help navigating life's biggest decisions, they seek our wise counsel and we deliver an airtight verdict. It's time to settle this. This is so people usually email in with their questions and we help figure out their problems for them. This one's very personal to me, and I think you'll see why as we read this. Hi, Matt. My boyfriend and I have been talking about getting engaged, and he told me that he doesn't want to wear a wedding ring. It won't make us any less married, he says. He claims rings are uncomfortable for him to wear and that he's never worn one before. I said, okay, do I have to wear a ring then? And he said, if I pay for it, you do. Rings aren't any more comfortable for me than they are for him. I think it would look handsome on him too. And fine, I'll pay for it then. Please settle this. Is it okay for men not to wear a wedding ring if their wife has to? I look forward to your answer. Thanks so much. Love the show. And you...
Aw, this is cheating. So that's from my girlfriend. Your girlfriend. Oh, it is from your girlfriend.
Yep, that's my girlfriend.
That's so funny that I then was like, I'm telling your girlfriend, but it actually is.
You tell her. If you talk loud enough, she'll hear you. She's just over there.
Jill is a great name.
Well, thank you.
I only know two Jills and I love them both, so.
She's one L. Does that change your opinion?
Yeah, fuck her. Yeah. I'm over it now. She's a phony.
It's not great. She picked it. She picked it too. She's a Jillian.
Wow. Two L's.
It's the one thing that's wrong with her.
You know, I guess if you're shortening Jillian, what difference does it make how far you go into the L's?
Just why have an L at all? Just be G.
Yeah, G. Yeah. Have you thought about calling her G?
Or J, I'm sure. Like, people that are named Jason are just J.
Yeah.
Big J. What's up, Big J? Maybe you should start calling her Big J. Just throw her up an alley-oop. See what happens.
Yeah.
See if she dunks.
Well, now she's heard the plan, right? Or no.
Close the door. Okay. Well, the thing is, this is mostly true. I'll wear it when we get married, but I'm just saying in general, I've spent a whole life not wearing jewelry. I don't even wear a watch. It's not an anti-love thing it's an anti-jewelry thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hold up the main reason, which she probably didn't mention out of
politeness. You want to fuck other people and you don't want them to be thrown by your wedding ring. Yeah.
Okay, look at this hand, Avital. I don't even know if it's fat as hell. That's a fat hand.
It doesn't look fat to me.
JD, you've seen my hands. You've
Are they
held
fat
them
in person?
As we've grieved together, as we've celebrated together. We've been in horrors together, just circling hand in hand.
Yes, yes.
I have fat hands.
I mean, I wouldn't call them fat. Husky. They're husky.
Yeah, they're husky hands. My husky, one. That's my one man hands. Show.
Yeah. Husky hands.
Well, what does that got to do
old
with wearing
fat
a ring?
Hands? My life with fat hands. Well, what does it mean? What does it have to do?
Just get a big
short,
ring.
Short, stubby fingers look weird with rings on them. Everyone knows that.
Does everyone know that?
What do you think? They look better on fat, stubby hands?
I think you're being very self-conscious right now.
When you hire a model, are they a lithe, flowy woman, or is it like Danny DeVito in a dress?
But by your logic, right? Because yes, like clothes look better on models, but by that, your version is like, then fat people should be naked? Like nobody who's not tall and lean can wear clothes?
Okay, now I feel like you're reading from the Kanye West curriculum.
No, this is what I'm saying you're saying. I feel like
I'm saying Well, yes. I'm just saying that, no, because you can get clothes in different sizes. Like a ring is a ring.
You can get a ring in a different size.
I know, but it's still a ring. Like, but for instance, I'm not wearing vertical stripes, Avital. You know why? You know why. I'm not saying you know why from experience. I'm just saying you
How
know
dare.
Why.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
You know, I'm not wearing a white t-shirt.
Is that a thing?
if you're self-conscious, you could see silhouettes of certain
things. Clearly in white.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, okay, Matt, I think you're kind of bearing the lead here, because you're saying you don't want to wear a ring. Fine. But you're saying that she does have to wear a ring. I think that's really what this is about.
But she wants to. What is she even talking about?
Okay, but if she
she doesn't
want to
wear a ring?
If she didn't want to, would you be like, that's fine? Like you said, if I pay for it. But what if you don't buy her a ring and she doesn't wear one? Is that
Can
okay?
I even do that?
Sure. I mean, if she's okay with
it. I did it.
Yeah, no rings?
Don't I have
no
to
rings.
Put it? What did you put on her finger when you proposed to her?
Oh, yeah, she bought her ring.
No rings to get, that I bought.
We agreed to get married, but then she was like, well, I'd like a ring. And I was like, go for it.
Wow. Not even like a ring lollipop, a ring pop or something?
No ring pop or anything.
Because are we talking engagement ring or the band you put on when you get married?
Well, the engagement ring, and then she bought the engagement ring, but we did buy rings to sort of for the ceremony. Which I wore for about a year, and then I just kind of
okay. Let's see
off.
Your hands.
You know,
ooh,
not wearing it.
I'm not wearing any rings.
And does she?
She does not. She well,
oh, she doesn't either.
She wore hers for a little while, and then she read Blood Diamonds, and then she took it off and said, "I'm not wearing this anymore." And I'm saying, "Great, neither am I." And I put it. We put it in like a little dish. And I haven't seen them since, to be honest.
The blood has already been shed, though. The blood's
not going back, but you know.
I don't have a diamond, so my hands are clean.
But are you wearing it?
I am wearing it, but it's like a, you know, it's just like a pretty ring. It's not, like, it doesn't necessarily look like an engagement ring. Like, people have seen it and not realized that that's what it's for.
But it's on
and does that change
finger.
Your life in any way?
That people don't know?
Yeah.
I guess I did find, like, like at Ed Fringe, for
example. People weren't congratulating me with the frequency that I would like.
It's actually the opposite. I would get really like, that was the thing that I liked, is I always feel really embarrassed for whatever reason. People say congratulations, and same after I got married. I'm like, we didn't do anything, like stop. So right. For me, that was an upside, but I guess the flip side, right? If the idea of like, the idea of the ring as a deterrent, so people are like, he's taken, stay away. I think it didn't do, like, I remember telling somebody that I was engaged at the Edinburgh Fringe, and he was like, really? And I was like, I mean, I wear a ring. And he's like, I didn't know that that's what that was.
Mm.
So I think like the diamond sends a clearer signal.
Right.
But I was just like, this is pretty.
That you don't care what's
not
happening in Africa.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
But I've tried to convince her that, and I think this is just like, sort of anecdotal, but I do kind of think it's true that women feel attracted to men that are married because at first they feel safer. They're like, well, this guy's married. I can talk to him. He's fine. And then they also know that you can commit because you already did it once.
Right. That's the weird thing, because I think studies show that women like a man with a ring because it shows that he can commit. But then if he's interested in you, it's like he can't really.
Yeah,
he's just not good at it. He can do
right,
it.
Right, badly.
I didn't say how good he was at it.
Yeah.
So I'm really saving her from me being constantly hit on. Because as soon as these chicks see this ring on my fat finger.
Does your arm hurt from that reach just now? Or?
Like girthy. I mean, women love girth. So I what about this? Chain around my neck with the ring on the chain.
No.
Thank you. No, thank you. Okay, crossing that out.
I mean, I do think... Like, on the one hand, I do kind of get it, because I think there's an identity piece of person who wears jewelry and person who doesn't. But there's also an identity shift from, like, single to married. So maybe it's like, just suck it up and get over it. I will say Amir also hates. He has, like, weird sensory things. I know, it would have been an interesting question for him when he was on.
You can admit, how fat are his fingers?
I don't think they're fat, but I don't think yours are fat either.
Well, you know, right before the show, he did we didn't see his face, but we did see his
hands.
We did see his hands. Adjust your microphone.
I didn't clock the ring either. Was he not wearing it?
I didn't notice, but I did think he was very dexterous with those fingers.
So you slender. Slender.
I'd say they're slender, yeah, okay. If I had to say.
So he's like
slender.
Because, you know, like, depending on your profession, a lot of people don't, men don't wear their rings, like mechanics, electricians,
right,
machinists. Of course, none of which would apply to Amir or myself.
Right. Well, he does.
Podcasters.
I really need these hands for podcasting. I think he does take it off like when he plays tennis.
Okay.
So there are certain things. And when he plays basketball, like often I'll see it on the table.
Right.
But he did feel weird about it. And I remember him being like, do I have to wear a ring? And I was like, if I have to wear a ring, you have to wear a ring. I mean, I think it's kind of fucked up that men don't wear them as an engagement thing and women do.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Well, that's if you're engaged for 1 year, that's your year to go and just get as much puss as possible.
That's what it seems like, yeah.
Uh-huh. And then when you put on the ring, you stop calling it puss. And that's why women are more attracted to you. Why did that even come out of my mouth? I mean, are puss and puss spelled the same? I guess they are.
No, one S versus two, like Jill and Jill.
Jill and Jill.
Puss is one S. One S puss?
Yeah. Okay. Two S is puss.
So close.
Maybe that's why Jill dropped the L. She's like, she relates more to puss than puss.
Yeah.
Honey, do you? No, just kidding.
What Amir did, which I don't know if this appeals to you at all, he got a wooden ring because he really was not into the idea of wearing metal for some reason. And his is made out of wood.
He was scared that it might be the one ring to rule them all, and he didn't feel like he had the bravery inside of him to throw it into Mordor.
Couldn't handle accidentally going invisible. Slips the thing on. What about this? Tattoos. Just get tattoos. Engagement tattoo. Here, hear me up.
No,
engagement tattoo where you both get a heart over your heart.
Oh.
Okay? That's an engagement tattoo. And then when you get married, you put each other's names in the heart. So it's like, I'm engaged. So during your engagement, you have these matching tattoos. And then you put your Jill's name.
I love how much more complicated that is than the wedding band tattoo.
Yeah.
I thought you were just going to say.
Yeah, just... doing this? Tattooing your finger?
No. That hurts.
But the whole point is that people see it, right?
Yeah.
You're right.
And doing the finger, which I have seen before, is dangerously close to someone tattooing a mustache on this finger.
Right.
Which you actually are allowed to divorce someone if they do that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like, that's an annulment right there.
I read online that the one people that are supposed to take their ring off are cops, because like when you're booking a perp or something, you don't want them to know that you have a family to try to use that against you.
That's a good point.
So I think a good 6 months to become a cop.
Yeah. That's your best bet. What's your aversion to the finger tattoo?
Like the circle going all the way around?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't have any tattoos, so I guess it would be a good first one. And I've always said that I don't get one because I have no idea what to put on my body. I guess that's as good as any, isn't it?
Yeah, and then your argument falls apart of, I don't like to put anything on, it's uncomfortable.
Exactly. And you never lose it. You'll never lose it. It'll always be there,
which I think is a thing. And this is just an original idea. No one steal this. I do one puzzle piece on my wrist, and then she does another puzzle piece on her wrist. And here's the thing.
They don't fit.
If we cut them out of our skin, which maybe we'll do for like the 25th anniversary, they would interlock.
Wow.
And it's just sort of like Beautiful. Just this cute little metaphor about how we're sort of all these different people, but we were meant to fit together. Are you getting that, or is it?
I'm confused. Sorry, you cut it out of your skin, so it's sort of bloody and floppy, and then you try to press the two floppy hunks of meat covered in blood into each other, and then they lock in like a jigsaw.
Well, first you go, did you keep the box? Because the picture's on the front of the box. I don't know where it's supposed to go. Now, I'd probably take one of the bordered pieces because those are the more prized ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in this patriarchy, I think the men should have the bordered pieces because those are the ones you reach for first when you're doing the puzzle.
Mm. Well, you could both have a border, but you couldn't both have a corner.
Right.
Unless it's two pieces across.
Right. Then they're border, but they're not both corner. Right?
I think they are. Imagine a... Okay. Close your eyes. Imagine a puzzle. It's six pieces. Two, two, two. The two at the top and the two at the bottom are borders and corners.
Oh, true. Yeah, narrow enough puzzle, you could have two corners.
And if we ever open it up to other people, like Polycule style, we just add to the puzzle. She's going to love this one.
This is perfect.
She's going to love this.
All right, Avital, there's only one very quick thing left to do, and that's play subjective trivia.
Okay.
Subjective trivia, it's just like regular trivia, except only I know the answer. As you may know, you said that your husband loves sports, so I'm sure you know the NCAA March Madness tournament is over now. Well, you made a face that led me to believe you didn't know that.
I did come in third in our pool at the office, the brackets. I don't know.
No, you did it in the brackets.
Yeah, I did that. So okay. I did know, I just forgot, but I found out today because I was like, oh, it must be over if I came in third.
Okay, how about this? A bracket with my wife-to-be, and we're all both on different sides of the bracket, and then everyone else in the bracket is like an ex of ours, and then we like meet in the middle.
Oh, that's great. That is. Yeah, I like that.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, writing that down. All right, so the tournament's
over.
That
tattoo, too.
But this inspired the question because, of course, we got to see all the stars during the tournament. And by the stars, I mean all of our favorite insurance spokespeople in an endless amount of ads. So today's question is, who is the best insurance spokesperson?
Oh, wow.
So I made this. You're probably saying to yourself, no way he made that. Yeah, I did. I made that. I made this graphic that you're looking at. So here are your options. Flo from Progressive. Professor Burke from Farmers. Perhaps you didn't know his name was Professor Burke, but that's J.K. Simmons.
I don't think I've seen him. You've never seen him? Like, I see that it's J.K. Simmons, and I'm like, oh, cool. I like him because it's J.K. Simmons, but I don't think I've ever seen an ad with him.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba dum, ba dum, ba bum. Is that ringing a bell?
Yes, but I don't remember him being in them.
Oh, okay. Well, he is.
Okay. Sorry. Go on.
Mayhem from Allstate. The Gecko from Geico. Jake from State Farm, and Limu, Emu, and Doug from Liberty Mutual.
What's the question, Matt?
Who is the best insurance spokesperson?
Just the best. Okay.
I have my answer written here, so you know I'm not cheating. The goal is for us to have the same answer, and you can consult with JD. He does not know what my answer is, and you can try to get him ahead. Again, your choices for best insurance spokesperson, Flo from Progressive, J.K. Simmons from Farmers, Mayhem from Allstate, The Gecko from Geico, Jake from State Farm, and Limu, Emu, and Doug from Liberty Mutual.
I'm sad that I've never seen the Limu, Emu, and Doug because there's an emu.
That's cool. It is an emu.
Is it real or is it like a puppet?
It's real.
Is that a fact?
I think it's real, yeah.
Okay.
It's got to be real.
In some of the ads, it looks computer generated to me.
Maybe.
I think they're using all the tools in the tool belt to make Limu Emu come alive.
But Geico Gecko is definitely real. That's 100% real.
100% real. Talking for sure.
Gecko talking with a British accent? Is that what
I
that
think
is?
So.
It's hard to find a gecko in Britain, too. I don't know if you knew
true.
That.
I see him all. We're lousy with him out here on the West Coast. I almost stepped on three today.
Yeah, but they have California accents. You can't have that.
Yeah.
No, that's right. You're not going to buy insurance from a surfer?
That's the only unrealistic part about it is why does he have a British accent?
It is really weird. Why does he have a British accent?
Yeah, because they sound like they know what they're talking about to us dumb Americans.
Right, yeah.
No one's going to believe this gecko can actually sell insurance. What if he had a British accent?
That's it.
I'm listening.
All right, Avital, I have no real sense here of where Matt's going.
Okay.
I would eliminate Flo and Jake out the gate.
Same.
Because they're kind of mainstays, but also kind of the most dull of the six.
And again, because we usually only give you four options, I'm going to tell you, you correctly eliminated two.
Okay.
We were on the same page. I know you get credit for it because you said it, but I was thinking it as well.
All right.
I was definitely with you. And then the four remaining are contenders. What I will say, because I'm a big J.K. Simmons fan, but I've never seen the ad, I do think Mayhem is like a smart angle, and he's consistently funny and good.
I agree. He's my favorite of the remaining four, because, as you say, he's funny and it's good, and it's a good bit.
Yeah.
That has stood the test of time.
That's right. Go ahead.
J.K. He started the role pre-Oscar, and then he just continued doing it post-Oscar, which respect to JK, right?
Get that bag.
Yeah, exactly.
I literally thought you were about to say pre-Oz. I was like, really? I'm not sure that's true. J.K. Hey, Simmons was in Oz, right?
Yeah, so okay. was Mayhem, the guy, the Mayhem guy.
Oh, wow. Mayhem guy. Unfortunately, we know cool. J.K. Simmons' name. I call Mayhem guy 30 Rock guy.
Yes, I'm trying to remember.
He was in 30 Rock.
I think of him from 30 Rock, too. Dennis from 30 Rock, but now I can't remember his real name.
Right.
Right, wasn't he Dennis?
His name is Mayhem, unfortunately, for him.
Now it is.
The when latest...
When I see his name, I know who it is. Like, I can't remember his name now, right. but I
oh,
do
really?
Have
so you,
the right...
You, the hint you need is the full name? The hint you need to know his name is to look at his driver's license?
Like, if somebody mentions him, I know who they're talking about. I'm not like, oh, I have no idea what that guy's name is. Like, I can't pull it up. Right. But if somebody said it, I'm like, I know who that person is. Like, of course, if you say it now, that's cheating. But in conversation,
oh, if you think I'm looking it up, you're very... No, I'm not doing that. We okay. get, the whole show falls apart if I start Googling things. Okay, so you got down to four. Hit me with your answer.
All right. Avital, what do you think?
Well, now I am looking it up just to see. Oh, I was a liar. I don't recognize his name. It's... Oh, no, never mind. I thought it was his name was Jack Meets, but it's an episode called Jack Meets Dennis. I was like, Jack Meets doesn't sound familiar at all.
Jack Meets off?
Yeah. Can't find it. Okay, I'll look it up later, but I think I know his real name. Dennis Duffy was... Now I've lost you guys. Too many windows. Okay, we're back.
I told you. That's why Joe Rogan has a man specifically dedicated to Googling on his show.
Smart. Okay, follow up. One more question for you, JD.
Mm-hmm.
What about the llama? How is that duo?
The llama... It's an emu. It's a lot of... It's right, mm-hmm. the emu, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
It's... I think they're good commercials. There's a lot of chaotic energy, which I know Matt enjoys.
Gonna need an answer here.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Mayhem with my second place option maybe being the emu, but I don't know. It's all just guessing, but I've never even seen the emu in action, so it's really
right.
a blind guess.
Okay, let's go Mayhem. Let's just go Mayhem.
You got it down to the right two, and... You were right. It's me.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. We
Hell
got it
yeah.
right.
Congratulations.
That feels
By the
really
way,
good.
The latest Mayhem commercial, speaking of Oz, is the guy that plays his brother in Oz is playing Mayhem's brother in the commercial. Have you seen it? They're fighting. They're two. Yeah, I know.
No, I haven't. Awesome. I haven't seen all his hits. I didn't. I watched every single commercial for all these people. I just want to say make one complaint about Limu Emu and Doug from Liberty Mutual. So they had an ad going where they replaced Doug. Do you see this one?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, that guy doesn't even have a mustache, and he puts a fake mustache on, right? And he goes, Liberty Bibberty, you know, because the whole joke is like he sucks as an actor,
right?
And it really bothers me because the jingle is Liberty, Liberty, Liberty. Every time I think it's going to go Liberty, Liberty, Bibberty. Right. And it never does. And I'm like, follow the joke all the way through.
Yeah.
Missed opportunity.
It fucking bugs me. And for that, Limu Emu and Doug, you came in second place.
Wow.
The title was right there. But unfortunately,
the election.
The credit goes to Mayhem, real name Jack Meets. Avital, before you go, please tell us where people can find you and plug this tour.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I'm at avitalash.com. And I'm going to be, I have a sold out show in LA, a sold out show in New York, but I just added another show in LA. And I still have three shows in London. And a show in Glasgow and a show in Edinburgh, back where it all began.
Ah.
And I'm also on...
I hope Fringe Biscuits shows up.
It is fun to say. There are some other ones that seem fake that I was like, I want to put the four stars
Chortle?
From... Chortle, weirdly, is like a revered one there. Chortle is a big Fringe publication, if you can believe it. Like,
really?
Here's another...
Yeah, I do believe it's a Fringe publication.
But not a Fringe publication, but a Fringe...
Right.
There's no way to say it that's clear.
Oh, but they merged with Guffaw, and now, you know, it was their main competitor.
When I got four stores from Chortle, like friends that live here but that have done it before were like, but it wasn't Steve Bennett, was it? I'm like, it was. Like, people know who. And then I got what they like to say there, a three but reads like a four. Like, I got a three-star review from The Guardian, and I hate it because it's the first one that comes up when you look me up. But it says a lot of nice things. But then people will be like, was it Brian Logan? Yeah, he's a cunt. Like, people know. So those are like the big... Like, along with The Guardian for The Fringe, Chortle is right up there, surprisingly. But you kind of got to be in the club to know.
Well, JD, she remembers those random dudes' names, but she doesn't remember the guy.
Gonna remember the guy that gave me 3 stars for sure. Because fuck you, Brian Logan. I shouldn't have said that in trying to plug my shows. Look, like 12 people gave me 4 stars. It's just that Brian Logan.
It's like 3.85 stars.
And Distractify actually gave me 5, which when you say that, then the rest sound kind of sad at 4. But
yeah, because you wait, on your website, I think you have it as 4 stars for Distractify, do you not?
I think they just sort of blend together, probably.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Or
it's like, is that an hourglass or two people kissing?
Yes, it's one of those.
Or 3 stars like from The Guardian is like Roger Ebert giving you 2 thumbs up and a boner, which he never does.
He died before Viagra. It was so sad.
Thank you for that. I'll take it. The boner and the 2 thumbs up.
Yeah. Hey, was that joke? How Roger Ebert's giving 2 thumbs up and carrying a dozen donuts, huh?
Hey, I have an is this good question for you now, if you don't mind.
Sorry, that's not allowed, but go ahead.
Okay. On the one hand, being like, I got this fucking 3 stars. There's an argument to be made. I'm of the people. I'm not so far up my own ass. Yeah. I'm fallible. Or are you going like, yeah, I'm not buying tickets to that show. The Guardian gave it fucking 3 stars. So yes, or is this good to sort of say, here's some bad press for the show?
I'll give you 2 answers. 3 stars is worse than 4 for sure. On Yelp or reviews for whatever. But when you read the review and you see like, oh, this is like all positive. And it's like, oh, just like he had a minor quibble or something. Or his quibble is not even something I would care about. So, you know, it's the article that's more important. Unfortunately, most people don't know how to read.
Yes, that is true.
But they can look at pictogram.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, you got 12 other, or I think you say almost a dozen, which I think is 11.
Yeah, it's 10 or 11 that I got.
I was going to call you out at the start of the show, but I didn't want to start on a weird foot.
Now you know. It's all a weird foot.
About a baker's dozen of 4 stars reviews.
6 to 1, half dozen the other. I can't count.
All right. Well, at the end of the show, I just say, which is what I will be doing at your show at the Elysian at the end of the month. Remember to check us out, patreon.com/ It's good.
A gelato palate cleanser, as you said.
Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Hopefully you're listening to this as you're eating dinner. And it was great to be with you during this probably troubling time in your life. You'll find someone.
Maybe your mom did love you, and maybe she just let you watch in front of the TV because she thought you should make your own decisions, and I'm sure she was doing the best she could.
TV is the best babysitter. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Avital for coming on. Thanks in advance for leaving a 5-star review for everyone. I'm Matt Austin, and this was good. We'll see you next week.